If you would please be turning in your New Testament to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to be reading in a moment from verses 44, 45, and 46. But before we do that, let me just ask you this question. How much is the church worth to you? I have no idea what Denton County values our real estate at. I would be surprised if it were under a couple of $1 million. But you will not be able to answer my question with a dollars and cents figure, because I'm not asking what real estate is worth. I'm asking, what is the church worth to you? The value of God's kingdom, the value of Christ's kingdom, the value of the church is expressed in two little short parables that Jesus told. It was not uncommon back in the first century for a person to bury valuable things. Remember in the parable that Jesus told of the talents? What did the one talent man, and remember a talent was a unit of money, a rather large unit of money. What did the one talent man do with it? He took it out and buried it in the ground. And then when the master came back, he got it out and gave it back to him. So burying something that was valuable was not all that uncommon. Now, if you did that, who knows? You might never get back to dig it up again. You might die. You might, something else happen to you, and you never get back there to collect it. Nobody would ever know about it until, lo and behold, someone just stumbles onto it. Well, look at there. There's a treasure. Also, in the first century and even today, pearls are valuable. And the bigger and the more uniform the pearl, and in some cases the color of it and other qualities, you know, pearls have different values. And so there would be pearl merchants, and Jesus tells a parable about that. And we'll take a look at those two parables and talk about the value of the kingdom. Beginning in verse 44, Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Two very simple, short parables. What do we learn from these things? Well, first of all, I want us to learn tonight the infinite value of God's kingdom, the church, the infinite value that it holds. The treasure that the man found in the field was worth giving up everything that he had in order to purchase that field that contained the treasure. And so that was obviously something of tremendous value. The perfect pearl would have fetched a fantastic price. And so the man who was a pearl merchant, when he saw that pearl, he knew the value of it. What is the church worth? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul to the elders of the church at Ephesus tells them, you shepherd the church of the Lord, which he purchased with what? His own blood. Something of greater value than all the gold in Fort Knox. And I'm assuming there is still gold in Fort Knox. You may have heard all the conspiracy theories. There's no gold in Fort Knox. Who cares? The Lord's church is infinitely more valuable than all the gold you could pile up in 100 lifetimes. These men, the man who stumbled across the treasure in the field, and the pearl merchant, had no problem recognizing the value of what they had found. They knew the tremendous value of it, and that leads me to wonder, Do we really recognize the value of the kingdom of Christ? Do we recognize the value of the church? Then I also want us to see that the finders of these things exercised self-denial. And what I mean by that is the finder of the treasure, for example, sold everything that he had in order to buy the field that contained that treasure. The pearl merchant sold all of the pearls that he had, everything that he had, to buy that one pearl. One. Because it was a pearl of great price. Now, you can just use your imagination for a moment. A pearl merchant, he probably had several very nice pearls. I don't know what a pearl is worth nowadays. I have no earthly idea. I guess most pearls are cultured pearls now, which are not as expensive. But an actual natural pearl that's perfectly round, and I don't know if not all pearls are white. I don't know if the colored ones are of any greater value, and I don't really care. But the point is, he probably had some pretty valuable things. You really want to sell all those, Mr. Pearl Merchant? Yep. Why? Why would you do that? Because here is it. This isn't about it. This is it. This is the pearl that I've been looking for all of my life. And I finally found that thing, and I will gladly sell everything that I have. I will deny myself. I will practice that self-denial, and I'll just sell out. Because then I can get a hold of that one pearl that is so valuable. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, if one would come after me, what does he need to do? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Think of men like Abraham. What did God tell Abraham? Abraham lives in Ur of the Chaldees. Ancient Ur of the Chaldees was a great place to be, except for all the idolatry that was going on, which is pretty much why God told him to get out of there. But as far as material things go, it was an area of great agriculture, and if you want to talk about culture, yeah, it was a great cultural center. Abraham, get out of there. Well, why? Go to the land that I'm going to show you. Well, Lord, could you give me a map first so I'll know where I'm going? Nope, nothing doing. I'll take you where I want you to go. Just go. And Abraham went. Think of Saul of Tarsus. He sees Jesus and realizes, oh, what a mess I've been. I've been fighting and killing and persecuting the disciples of Jesus. What would you have me to do, Lord? Go into the city, there it will be told you what you must do. I have some things in mind for you, Saul of Tarsus. You're going to be my messenger before it's all said and done. And not only that, you'll be my messenger to the Gentiles. This rabid Pharisee who wouldn't be caught dead associating with Gentiles. You're going to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That took some self-denial. Saul did not say, well, Lord, wait a minute. Could we negotiate this? Maybe we could tone this down a little bit. No, nothing doing. You got to surrender. And so Saul of Tarsus practiced that self-denial. Saul gave up his prestige, his position in the Jewish religion, and very likely gave up a fabulous fortune. He could have made good money as a rabbi, as a great one. He was head and shoulders above everybody else in his society. But he gave that up. No point in selling out unless you're going to complete the transaction. It would be pointless to say, well, I'll sell all these other pearls and then I'll just keep the money instead of buying this pearl of great price. That wouldn't make sense, would it? And so the pearl merchant completed the transaction. And the reason I bring that up is to say that it won't do, and you know that all, I'm preaching to the choir here, aren't I? You know that it won't do to say, well, I'll kind of clean up my act a little bit, and I'll maybe go to church once in a great while, but obeying the gospel? No, I don't really need to do that. Making a commitment like that? No, don't want to do that. Or maybe someone would even say, well, yeah, I'll obey the gospel, but then it's over. Well, I obeyed the gospel back in 1492. I'm good. Nope. Not really. Just being baptized at some point in time, you know, probably a person like that would say, no, I don't believe in once saved, always saved, but they act like it. They live like it. Yeah, well, I was baptized back in ancient times, but, you know, haven't darkened the church house door since, or not very often anyway. And, you know, I don't necessarily live the way that a Christian should. And so, but I was baptized, so that's good enough. No, it really isn't. Did you notice that the pearl merchant and the fellow buying the field, neither of them haggled over the price? Well, wait a minute. Would you take a little less for that pearl? No, he knew what it cost, and he was willing to pay the price because that pearl was the one. It was the one of great price. The man knew how much the field was. He didn't ask the owner of the field, well, would you take a little less for that field? He knew what he needed to do. He sold everything that he had and bought that field because it contained that precious treasure. Didn't wait for a sale. He was willing to pay whatever it took. He recognized the value of God's kingdom. Also, in those two parables, they didn't complain or cry because they had to sell everything in order to buy the field or the pearl. They were perfectly happy to do so. Look at verse 44. For joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has. He was happy to do that. Joyful. Acquiring the kingdom of God brings joy. Becoming part of God's kingdom, part of the Lord's church, brings joy. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He goes on his way rejoicing. What are you so happy about, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch? He's just had his sins washed away. He knows who he belongs to now. He's a member of the Lord's church, the kingdom of Christ. The Philippian jailer, same way. He and his household rejoice because they have learned and obeyed the gospel. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul was talking about some of the things he had formerly placed great value in. All of his Jewish heritage and all the things that he could boast about. And he said, I just count these things loss for Christ, that I may gain Christ. And so he was happy to pay the price and to acquire the kingdom of God. It brought him joy. Excuse me. Though we must deny ourselves and surrender totally, Jesus promises us that we too can have joy. I want you to look with me in the book of Luke. Let me flip over to chapter 18, and we'll look at verses 28 through 30. Again, that's the 18th chapter of Luke, 28 through 30. Peter says to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. And the implied question is, what good is it going to do us? So Jesus says to him, Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So Jesus there verifies what we've been talking about, that it's a good thing to surrender and to recognize the value of the kingdom and to deny yourself and pay whatever it costs, as it were, in order to be a part of God's kingdom. Finally, tonight, I want to wrap up by saying that there are two types of people who come into the kingdom, and they're very much in evidence by these two parables. We saw the first man just happened to be going through this field, and lo and behold, there's the treasure. And he goes and buys it. He's not a treasure hunter. He's just going through the field, and there it is. The pearl merchant, on the other hand, was seeking the pearl of great price. I identify more with the man who found the treasure in the field. And I think I've explained this to you before, that when I was first exposed to the gospel, I was not looking for it. In fact, I was pretty sure that I could take that fellow who was trying to teach me the gospel and tie him up in knots. I found out better than that. But I really thought I could, young smart aleck. Now I'm old, and I hope I'm not a smart aleck, but sometimes I wonder. But I really identify with this man who when he saw it, it finally dawned on him, okay, this is a treasure. It's worth giving up everything. But he wasn't really looking for it. You might be different than that. You might be like the pearl merchant, that you wanted the truth. You were looking for the truth. And when you finally found it, you said, yes, this is it. And then you were willing to give up everything in order to acquire that precious treasure. So regardless whether you stumbled onto the truth when you weren't looking for it, or whether you just recognize the value of the church because you've always wanted it, you've recognized the value of God's kingdom. The point is the same, that it's worth any price. You have to pay for it. And we're not talking here just, you're not going to write a check to God. That's not the point here, and I think you know that. Whatever price you have to pay, the self-denial is required to be sure, but it is outweighed by the joy of becoming a child of God. And I'm confident every one of you this evening appreciates that. Nevertheless, we shall, as we traditionally do, end tonight with an invitation. If you're subject to it, come as we're standing and singing.